Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Carvery with Alex Storr. This podcast is all about the idea that success, happiness, innovation, collaboration, teamwork, creativity, all of those things that we really are looking for in our lives is actually our natural state once the drama's gone. And so every single episode on The Carvery, we do just that. We carve away any little source of drama that is keeping us from being that natural state, which then just reveals and leads us to all those things we're looking for. And in today's episode, we're going to continue to do the same. What inspired today's episode was a Steve Jobs quote I've heard a lot, and then it was on my LinkedIn and it went kind of viral where everyone's like, this is brilliant. And so given that it was a topic that everyone was excited about, I thought I should break down kind of the reality-based look at this or the Carvery look at this to see if it's a great concept, but there could be some drama involved with it and what to watch out for. Because really what Steve Jobs was getting at with this quote today was how to get the most out of your top talent. For many people I work with, that's really the whole goal, is we want to hire great people that have amazing talent, that have amazing skills, amazing creativity in their roles, in their jobs, and we want to get the most out of them. And what I will tell you is that their natural state is to be the best, to the top of their licensure, to the top of their credentials. But when they're not being that, I guarantee the challenge is that they're into drama or they're navigating drama in the workplace. And so where can we look at this idea of how to get the most out of top talent based on this Steve Jobs quote? And so I want to read the quote to you because I really think it's brilliant and a lot of people seem to love it. And the quote is, "It doesn't make sense to hire smart people and tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do." And that is amazing because a lot of people think of Steve Jobs as the guy that was really, you know, from what we've seen in a lot of the movies and the ways they portray him, was this really just strict guy. And he told a lot of people what to do. But this quote is super powerful because this looks like he was stepping back and understanding that he doesn't know all the answers. And we're not going to hire people and then tell them what to do because that limits their ability to add value. We're going to let them use all that they have been given as skills and abilities to tell us what to do. And that creates changes that are magnificent in the world. And so I love this quote because this really hints at the type of leadership we believe in. And I really love this quote because this was a sign that Steve Jobs, when he was thinking this way, had really evolved his leadership. He had evolved his thinking about what is the true role of a leader, because typically most people believe, or they don't even realize, that they think as a leader, they have to be the one that knows all the answers, or they have to be the one that jumps in to save the day or know how to fix the big problem or to have the vision about where we need to go. And while at times that does happen, that really can't be the role of a leader. It's almost an impossible task. And so this quote about we hire smart people so they tell us what to do is showing that Steve Jobs in this moment had that I don't know mind, where my mind's open. I'm going to put great talent around me. And when they bring ideas, I'll consider all of them because they have different experiences. They have different touch points, different data points about what we could do to better serve our customers. And so they can tell me what to do or what options we could do to really make a difference. And then from there, we can look at ways to move the organization forward or ways to innovate. This is the first thing I really want to highlight here, is that in the past, many leaders believe that you hire all these great people in the hiring process, and then we get a little nervous. We get scared they could do the job better. We get scared that they might know more than us. And then we start to suppress that talent and tell them what to do and force them into old processes and force them into narrowing their thinking and really limiting their thinking. And this is the first step about what really we want to get to more of a workplace that is beyond all this ego, is we hire great people so we collaborate and they can tell us more what to do and what to notice out there and what to wake us up to that could help our company improve. And this is where the role of a leader really comes back. And we've talked about it in a lot of other podcasts, is the role of a leader is not to know all the answers. It's not to inspire. It's not to motivate. It's not to engage your teams. Because if you look at a lot of the research in the brain sciences, it's not even possible as a leader to inspire another. It's not even possible to motivate another. And engagement's a choice to show up engaged and choose to re-engage. Because the thing about if the role of a leader was to motivate is I give a lot of keynotes and trainings, and I give the same talk to a group of 100 people, and some leave motivated, some don't. It's the same talk. And so choosing to be motivated is the choice of the listener. I can't motivate you. Now, as a leader, I can do some things that demotivate you, but it still comes back to you on whether or not you're motivated or not to still show up to work and do your job. And so we got to get back and look at the role of a leader with this quote. And I love that it's getting us thinking about that, is it's about hiring smart people and having them more tell us what to do instead of us telling everyone what to do. It really moves from this management kind of top-down enforcing what to do to thinking about really leading and facilitating good discussions and things like that. And so that begs the question then, what do good leaders actually do? Because if they don't inspire and motivate, what the heck do they actually do to be considered a good leader? And what we have found in our work and what we truly, truly believe is that the best leaders are actually not doers. They've worked their way up maybe as doers and executing things, but then to take it to the next level, they then become facilitators of what we call good mental processes. And this goes back to the basis of this whole podcast, is that we believe that people are naturally great. We believe that humans have unlimited potential, that success, happiness, innovation, collaboration, teamwork is their natural state once the drama's gone. And so if that is how they naturally are when the drama's gone, we actually believe the role of a leader is to help get that drama gone, so to speak, to help ditch the drama, to reveal that natural ability that everyone has. And so what does this mean for what the best leaders do? We actually believe that the best leaders are the ones that help eliminate this drama by facilitating good mental processes. Now, why do good mental processes get rid of drama? Drama is actually, if you really kind of get scientific about it, it's emotional waste. Let's just look at it as mental and emotional waste in our lives or in the workplace. And so in organizations, most organizations have gotten really good at looking at inefficiencies or waste in what they're doing, where something's just not producing the results they would like consistently. And to fix that or to improve that, they look at process improvement. There's continuous improvement teams. They look at improving a process so they can get more efficient, great results. So it's just standard business knowledge. If you have waste in your workplace, you eliminate it with a good process. How do you get rid of mental and emotional waste, drama? Through good mental processes. And so we believe the role of a leader is to help facilitate and teach the use of good mental processes to eliminate drama. And thus, this allows smart people to be at the top of their abilities to then tell us what to do from a place of no drama. Because then once we get to a place of no drama, people are telling us what to do based on what's best for the business. They're not in drama and judgment talking about what's best for their own personal preference. They are talking about ways in which to move things forward that would change the way we do things for the better, not how do we stop things from happening because I'm overwhelmed by change and I'm in drama about change. As your role of a leader becomes to facilitate and teach these good mental processes, instead of knowing all the answers and telling people what to do, you're just a facilitator of thinking and you manage energy away from why we can't and why we shouldn't have to into how we could. Then you have the top talent, the smart people you hired, constantly working from a place of no drama at the top of their level of consciousness. And the input they give is then the most valuable input because it's drama-free. That is the first point I want to anchor in here that I love about this quote, is that absolutely we hire smart people to tell us what to do. But as a leader, the reason we do that is because our role as we hire top people is to help them just stay as drama-free as possible, because that frees them up to be their natural state of creative, innovative, collaborative, teamwork, just problem solvers. And so that is a little distinction I want to add in there. But there's a couple other things that happens when you follow this quote that we need to watch out for. If you and your organization are hiring top talent and you want to then let them and allow them to tell you what to do, there's a couple filters I think we should be aware of that are very important. Now, in our organization, we've been able to work with some very innovative and very talented companies, just some of the most incredible, amazing talent they have in their organization. And what is one of the things that many don't understand is you can't let this talent just kind of roam free and be free to do kind of whatever they want, because there are some constraints in which our business oftentimes has to execute under. Sometimes we have budgetary constraints. So these top talent might have these great ideas to innovate and change the world, but we don't have the budget for that at the moment. Or there's all of these ideas we want to go after and all of these markets we want to infiltrate, but the focus of the business is to stay local. In business, there's all of these constraints that we need to consider, and oftentimes top talent gets frustrated when you say, oh, we would do that, but we have this constraint. And so a role of a leader is to really help recognize what these constraints are, to help box in the talent on what we're trying to actually succeed in, which is reality. Because true innovation actually comes after the recognition of our reality, which always has some competing priorities or constraints. Otherwise, it's an argument with reality. So if we're not recognizing reality and working within it, we're wasting a lot of time and energy arguing against reality and trying to brainstorm about what we could do, and we don't recognize our limitations. And so if you're asking your top talent to really dream board, and you're asking them to really think of what is truly possible, what would we want to do to change the world for our customers, or what do we want to do next? If you're in the really early stages, like pre-planning, and there's a lot of possibilities because you have a lot of budget and you're really dreaming up what to do, that's when it can be a brainstorm, and you don't really want to set any constraints because we are really getting the ideas out there. We're going to use our top talent to see what's possible. That's dreaming, and that is kind of pre-planning. That's a great time to let people really think outside of the box, and there's no constraints. If we had a magic wand, what would we do? You know, some of that dreaming, that is where we don't have to necessarily recognize reality because we are kind of dreaming if reality were perfect exactly how we want. But what I've found in my work and in all the organizations we've worked with, there is this thing called reality. And most times we're being asked to do incredible things or to offer solutions within certain constraints, which we call reality. And so you might want to have a goal of doing something incredibly amazing, but you have one department that has this constraint, which could be budgetary, and another department that says we got to do it with high quality. And so if we just keep dreaming without recognizing those constraints, it's really a waste of time and energy, and it just starts to frustrate everyone. What we say is best when you're allowing smart people to tell you what to do is to first help filter and carve out the drama from this and really get people clear on what is the true reality. Your role as a leader is to get really focused on naming the goal and then the constraints of reality. So then your top talent can start talking about how we could given that situation. And so one of our favorite tools for this that I love is called Thinking Inside the Box. And I will link how to do this tool in the description of the podcast below, and you can watch a video of how this tool works and how as a leader you can facilitate this in front of your top talent to get them looking at where they can actually add value with their talent. Let's say you've hired some of the best people in the realm of marketing. And so if you're playing under this model and they're going to tell you what to do with marketing, let's say as a leader you hear that for your company, the goal is, in marketing, is to get your product known to more people. Like, that's always kind of the goal of our marketing efforts, and to the right people. And they come in, top talent, with these big ideas, like we could do a whole Netflix documentary of our business and really tell a very intriguing long film about that tells kind of the story of our products and our history. Or maybe they have ideas that we could hire the most famous pro athlete in our area and then put that commercial on to like television during the Super Bowl or during, you know, the Oscars or this big event. And they have all these absolutely incredible ideas on how to get your product in front of people. Or they could do a, you know, a big conference where they bring in the top speakers and you guys sponsor the conference. And it's like these amazing ideas that the top talent is bringing to you that would help get your product in front of more people and the right people. But then what happens in our business is when you think about some of those ideas, there are some constraints in there. You might have some budgetary issues where we can't give a bunch of sponsorship money to a pro athlete, and then to make a commercial, that's expensive, and then to put it on television right now, that's expensive. And so there's some costs there. And so that's actually one of our constraints in our situation. And so what ends up happening is top talent brings these ideas, they tell us what to do, and we're like, let's do that. But then you're like, oh crap, as the leader, we don't have enough money to do that. And so you shut down top talent's ideas and they get frustrated. But that's just a constraint, and we'll talk about that. But then let's also talk about top talent saying to do maybe a TV commercial. Maybe it's to do a conference like that. Maybe a live event like that. But then there's also another constraint or something we're seeing in our reality, which is, let's say in marketing, we've noticed that the attention shifted. It's no longer into films and movies that go to like box offices as much. There's a whole nother realm of attention on Netflix, on Hulu. There's a whole nother realm of attention on social media where you can promote your products and for a very low cost as well, get that product in front of a lot of people and hit the right demographics. And so the attention has shifted, and maybe people don't want to watch a full long film about something. They'd rather see like a 60-second video that's pretty intriguing and unique and very creative. And so given that the goal is for top talent to help you make content to market your product and get it in front of, and they're giving you all of these ideas that you've realized are hitting a couple of constraints in your business or on your team, which is we have budgetary constraints and we have this constraint of our awareness that the attention of the consumer is changing from long videos to more shorter videos, and they want to see quick, snappy clips. And so what we recommend is to be able to facilitate a good mental process with this top talent is to start writing things down for this top talent to see. And because right in that moment, they're thinking outside of the box. They are thinking about hiring these pro athletes. They're thinking about spending all this money. They're thinking about making a long video. They're thinking about these big ideas outside of the box, which is essentially an argument with reality, because our reality is calling us to get our product in front of more people, given budgetary constraints and given that the attention of the consumer is different. That's our true reality. And all of these thoughts outside of our reality are actually essentially an argument with reality and costing us time, energy, and calories in what's going to be drama. And so as a leader, again, it's not you telling people what to do or saying that's a good idea, that's a bad idea, because that's just going to shut down and end all innovation and creativity. You're almost there. You just need to put a construct or a good mental process around reality. So then we can narrow down that thinking for this top talent to actually get creative in the current reality. And so what I would do is I just get in front of them on a piece of paper. I just draw a box up. And at the top of the box, I would just remind everybody that we have this amazing goal, which is to use all of our talents that we can bring together here to get our product in front of more people in the form of marketing. We want to get more awareness of our product. And I love that we all share that goal. And so people start to see the goal up there, like, yep, that's what we want. But then I would say, what I want us to do is keep thinking, and I love the ideas we've started, but we have a couple of constraints that I'm aware of and I want you to be aware of. And then on one side of the box, I would put the first constraint we talked about, which is we have some budgetary constraints. As much as I'd like to hire the top athlete to do a product for us, as much as I'd love to buy all this equipment to do a full feature film, as much as I'd love to do that, we just don't have the dollars to do that right now. And so I'd put up that budgetary constraint. And then I'd say, I heard what you guys were saying, but what I know, and you guys know this as well, is the behavior of the consumers changing. They want to watch more of these videos on different platforms like social media or Netflix or these different places, not essentially on television. And so what I want to do is put that constraint up there on the other side. And then what you do is just box all of that in. Given the goal and our two constraints, let's get all of our top talent thinking inside this box. Given our reality, let's talk about in the box, put how we could put get our product in front of more people, given the fact we have budgetary constraints and given the fact that attention is on other places like social media. And then just leave that reality up in front of all of this talent. And what you'll find is once you've ditched the drama and you've helped everyone recognize reality, and now you're on their side looking at the challenge, then true creativity and innovation happens that we can actually implement. It's not just pie in the sky thinking. And so what might happen there, and we've seen it in groups, is they're like, well, if social media is an avenue and we want to get our product in front of more people, why don't we start creating 60-second clips? That's what Instagram allows, that are really quick and snappy and really catch the attention of the consumer in the first 3 seconds, so they'll watch and learn about our product. And we can make funny videos, we can make skits, we can make really cool kind of epic videos, we can make trailers like big superhero movie trailers. There's so many ways we can make social media clips. Let's use all of our marketing and creative ideas to do that. That's a great idea. That's actually doable. It'll be cheaper. And someone goes, oh, and I think to keep it under budget is we can actually create it on the phones. My phone has a 4K camera. I can record with the technology I currently have, and then we can just edit it ourselves. We can save some money there. And once it's done, we just can post and it'll be in front of more people. And then someone else says, well, what we could also do is I know we have this big list of contacts in our email that I don't think we're thinking about the ones that already do believe in our stuff enough. We're not marketing to them in the best way. We're trying to look for other new customers. So maybe we could start to create content that's more targeted that says, we love that you love our product. Here's what you need to know about it. Educate them a bit more. And so what ended up happening is once as a leader, I facilitated this good mental process and got us grounded in reality, then your top talent is actually free to roam, but inside the gates of these constraints. Because if they're roaming outside of these gates, they are never going to reach solutions that we can actually execute on. And so that's the power of a leader, is not in solving this, but in keeping the skeleton up for the top talent to realize what they have to succeed in. And that is really something I want you guys thinking about to add on to Steve Jobs' quote. Now, the last thing that we see a lot that limits top talent and leaders don't realize it is that if we're going to hire smart people so they can tell us what to do, we need to make sure that this top talent understands the importance of us as leaders holding them to some standardized processes. It's what we call, make sure that top talent standardizes before they optimize. Because here's what top talent gets focused on a lot. They just want to optimize, optimize, optimize. They want to talk about big things. They want to talk about changing the world. But you're not going to be able to do that if you don't really think about having really good standardized processes based on best practice, based on what gets the most consistent results. Because if we don't have that as a foundation, we are always going to be running into these inefficiencies. So often, whenever we as leaders say, we're going to follow this standardized process because it'll make your lower level work more efficient and it's going to free you up to use all of your creativity and mind space to then do the next level of amazing work, to use your top talent to the fullest. And the first thing that happens is this talent gets frustrated, like, oh, you're trying to hold me back. You're trying to really shut down my creativity. You're gonna try and make me follow a process. I am just a free thinker. I need space to think. I don't need any processes. And what happens is they argue against standardization. And then what tends to happen when we don't have these good standardized processes within our business, we get that top talent constantly stuck in the weeds of going through these processes that's lower level work, instead of standardizing all of that, like basically letting the robots do the really boring and soul-sucking part of your work, that if you just allowed that to be standardized, it would free you up to do all of this amazing work that you were hired to do. And so before letting kind of top talent just roam free, make sure we insist and let them know that there are some non-negotiable standardized processes that we know if we just follow these, it'll free you up for higher level work. Because so often as leaders, in our fear of losing our best people that we hire, we're scared to hold them accountable to our best practices, to our standardized processes, which should be non-negotiable. We negotiate those non-negotiables, and then we really lower the standard for top talent and other people follow. And if we could just hold them to those good standardized processes, it's the very thing that would free them up to do higher level work. And so that's a big thing to think about when we're trying to get the most out of our top talent. To sum this up, you guys, I hope this gave you some ideas on how to get the most out of amazing talent. I love the Steve Jobs quote. It really makes sense to me, where we don't hire smart people to tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do. It's absolutely true. But what I'd add in there is that we do hire smart people to tell them what to do as far as their thinking, to help them understand good mental processes, to constantly stay out of drama, because that frees them up to tell us what to do from the highest level of consciousness. And so I want you to realize that your role as a coworker, as a leader, is recognize talent when you see it and help them stay drama-free in any way you can, because that will reveal the most of their talent, and it might even reveal talent they didn't even know they had, because it was suppressed with this blanket of drama. So I hope that gave you guys some food for thought on this concept and this quote that Steve Jobs shared. If you found this helpful when you think about the top talent in your organization, and if you're struggling with really containing that talent to be able to succeed in reality instead of always being upset and arguing with reality, please share this with any leaders or people that you know. And let me know on social what you thought of this episode or any episodes of The Carvery at Alex M. Dorr. Hope you guys have a fantastic week. I'll see you on the next episode. And as always, you guys know the deal. Let's keep ditching the drama. Stand up, stand up.